Hey everyone, welcome to the Audacious Black Girl Podcast. This is Amanda, your host. I hope everyone is having a really, really good holiday season. I'm definitely enjoying my little break here. Don't forget, new episodes return on January 12th. Actually, it was supposed to be the 5th, but I lost my laptop in the airport on my most recent vacation. So it's taken a little longer than normal, but I have to take a little bit extra longer of a break so I can get things together. But I'm giving you this rewind episode, one of my most popular and powerful episodes in the meantime. It's called Real Acceptance and Making Peace with Your Body with Kwabila Huddleston. She's a wellness enthusiast and she focuses on anti-diet culture. And how timely, right? For the new year. And sometimes we have those fitness goals, those health goals, which is beautiful and great. I definitely have mine, but it really does require a certain mindset shift. And with this episode, I had so many listeners contact me back in season two when this aired, just telling me about how important and helpful this episode was for them and their own mindset shift around body acceptance and wellness. So it was really beautiful to experience. And I thought it'd be great to share that again for those of you who maybe are new to the podcast, or maybe you just want to listen to this episode again. It was that fire. Personally, though, Kwabila and I had such a beautiful vibe in the episode. Unfortunately, she lives near me, so we've been on a couple of lunches. I'm looking forward to connecting with her after this whole COVID thing is over. But yeah, really enjoy it. And I think you really, really enjoyed and liked the episode. It definitely helped me with my own verbiage and language I use with my own body acceptance. So that's enough of me talking. Enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Audacious Black Girl Podcast. This is Amanda, your host. In this episode, I'll be talking to Kwabila. She is the founder of The Holistic Agenda, and you can find her on Instagram at The Holistic Agenda. We're going to talk about some really fantastic stuff just about health and our overall well-being, especially our mind frame when it comes to our bodies and how we see ourselves. So welcome, Kwabila. Thank you for being here. How are you?
Hi, Amanda. Thank you for having me. I'm great. You know, it's crazy times we're living in, but anytime I get to like connect with other Black women and just like, you know, talk about the things that help us be safe and well is a good time for me.
Absolutely. I love that. Absolutely love that. And we were talking a bit beforehand about just building community. And it really is important to kind of connect and help each other as Black women, because when we link up, ain't nothing can stop us. So I'm so glad that you're here. So can you tell us a bit about who you are and what you do with your platform, The Holistic Agenda?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, getting to the holistic agenda has been a journey. When I started out, I sort of envisioned taking people and building community around like my alternative alternative medicine journey. You know, I had several health problems, that began a decade ago. And I really went down this like self-exploration and health exploration. But unfortunately, that journey wasn't as like peaceful as people maybe thought it was, right? Because of the way that I was like presenting myself. And it wasn't until like maybe last year or the year before last that I had a like come to Jesus moment. And I decided that, you know, I want to be honest and I want to be truthful about what it's been like to be in my body and, you know, deal with, you know, fat phobia or anti-fatness and self, you know, negative self-image. And I decided I don't want to hide anymore. And so the holistic agenda, my goal is really to like help Black women make peace with their bodies and reclaim their time and their sanity along the way, because I lost all of that when I wasn't at peace with my body.
And I think that's so like people can relate to that. You know what I mean? I think so many of us can relate to that when we're looking at the outer aspect of ourselves, like our physical aspect, that really internally we may not be taking care of what's going on inside because we're so focused on maybe appearance or, you know, how other people are thinking about how we look. And it can really affect your overall wellness. But I want to know your story, because your story, when we talked about it previously, was so profound. Yeah. And it's what led you to do what you do now. So can you tell us the story your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm pretty sure this was fall of 2019. You know, just started a new job, just moved to a new city, a lot of big changes in my life. And I was at a conference for work. And so, you know, I'm there with like all of these different people. There were affinity groups. So there were like groups for Black women. And so, you know, just really surrounded by so many different types of people, right? And there was a day where I was having a really, really hard time with my body image. I was like overly obsessing about what I could or couldn't eat, right? Of course, I'm in like an environment where I couldn't control what I had available to me because I'm in a conference and they're, you know, providing food for us. And I had a serious breakdown. I mean, I was crying. I, you know, had to like step out and couldn't really be present because I felt so like ashamed and not safe in my body. And I felt like my body was betraying me. And, you know, I was also like exercising a lot, right? And so in my mind, like things weren't clicking. And, you know, that was sort of like the moment where I was like, I can't continue my life like this, right? Like the totality of who I am isn't like how much I weigh, isn't my ability to like restrict what I eat. And more importantly, it was interfering with my work. And because we live in a capitalist society, I can't have that because I have to pay bills.
Yeah, you got to live.
Right. And so... you know, it was, like I said, it was really a come to Jesus moment. And also, you know, even with a coworker who I, you know, now consider like a sister friend, even when it came to us hanging out, I was always like, well, where are we going? You know, checking the menu or saying, I can't eat that. I can't do this. And so it was interfering with my social life. And I'm pretty sure I looked out of control to people, right? Because they were like, what is going on? Like, you know, she's just so stressed about all of these things. And so that was really the moment. And, you know, I kind of went quiet for a little bit. Like I just kind of took some time to myself and, you know, I started learning more about like anti-diet culture and what it means to have food freedom and more importantly, have body acceptance. Right. And that's why, you know, when I said what my mission is, I'm focused on like helping Black women make peace with their bodies. We know that there's like been this like body positivity movement. And I think all of that is great. But where I'm at personally, I just need to feel just okay in my body. Right. And so many people, like so many Black women don't even just feel okay. Like, so the idea, like, then I'm supposed to love my body. That's a great goal. But like, I think a more achievable goal for me coming out of such a like disordered place is to make peace and accept my body how it is. And, you know, I see so many Black women struggling with that. There's a lot of desire to be snatched. Right. This whatever obsession about getting back to our bodies before we gave birth, if you, you know, gave birth. And it's just like, this is not
too much.
It's not healthy. And so, you know, again, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with wanting those things. But for me, I just realized I was placing too much value on my weight, on, again, what I could or couldn't eat. And those things were becoming my identity and it was too much.
And, you know, like you said, like it started affecting so many other aspects of your life. You know what I mean? And that's where that, I guess, the holistic thing comes in. It's like when you start seeing this one domain of my life is, you know, not where I want it to be, my physical health, right? Or how I'm feeling or how I'm looking. Now it's affecting my social environment. Now it's affecting my relationships. Now it's affecting my finances and work and my focus. Like that's when you have to take that step back and go, okay, what is really going on here? Because it's never just the one thing, you know, and I'm a therapist. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. And when I'm working with, you know, clients that are going through anything, you know, they may come to me saying, this is the issue, right? I'm like, all right, let's peel that back a little.
what else is going on that has led to that? So, or that is causing you to feel this way, and what else is going on too? So it really is a multi-level kind of thing when you're having a struggle, in this case that we're talking about, in your physical health, you know, domain. Something I want to ask you though is, when did that start for you? Because I'm thinking personally, I just had this conversation with my daughter. She's a teenager and, you know, she's growing and changing and she's just having a difficult time with body acceptance. So I had a real conversation with her, like, you know what, when I was your age, I went through the same thing. And it's unfortunately like a normal thing, you know what I mean? But then fortunately it is a normal thing. But what I wanted to teach her is what you said, like just being okay in your body. And I love that you said that. I love that you said that. We don't have to, you know, getting to that self-love and I love my body. That's a great goal, but it is a daunting task. Like, when will I ever get there? Because it ain't happening yet. But you're right. Just feeling okay in your body. But for you, when did this start?
Yeah.
When did it start?
Like the not being okay or the being okay?
Yeah. I guess the not being okay. Like, when did you first recognize or have that disconnect with your body?
See, it's crazy because, you know, after I had that like big moment, I started thinking about what kind of led me up to that point. And I very vividly remember, you know, things happening to me in elementary school and middle school and even post college, right? When I was younger, at one point, you know, my dad made a comment about me gaining weight after, you know, going to 7-Eleven and I picked out like some candy, and then he made a comment. And in my mind, I kind of was like, well, you give me money to buy things.
Yeah.
So if you don't want me to eat these things, then don't give me the money. But, I was a young child, but in middle school, there was a moment in my geometry class where, for whatever reason, people were asking people how much they weighed. And I just did not want to answer that question. And I refused. And I didn't. And a girl who I actually went to elementary school with as well. And in elementary school, people picked on me for having a big butt, being taller than everyone, right? Get to middle school, she's still around. And she blurts out, like, she weighed 160 pounds, 160, you know, just like, she doesn't know anything about my health, but like, I didn't want to say anything, you know, and I just remember feeling like a lot of shame then. And then my freshman year of high school, I mean, I called myself waking up at the crack of dawn before I had to go to school, working out to some Paula Abdul tape my mom had.
Mine's was Tybo.
And only eating salads.
Oh my gosh.
With no
this
protein.
This is too familiar. This is too familiar.
No protein, no fat, just salads. And I remember I lost like 4 pounds in that week and I was so excited. But then of course after that I ate everything that I really wanted to eat.
Naturally.
So, you know, it was just a cycle. And then, you know, again, other stuff has happened. And, you know, I wanna recognize too that like these conversations about like body acceptance and, you know, body love and, you know, body positivity, all of that, like someone like me, I think sometimes I struggle with like taking up space because I recognize that I am not what people may consider to be fat. Right. However, you don't have to be fat to experience fat phobia. Because fat phobia exists, we have diet culture, right? And so many people who are otherwise, you know, not considered fat, that said, like, I'm definitely pushing 200 pounds, you know, and I get the your BMI this and that, you know, so like, it still happens to me. But I just wanted to honor that, you know, in no way am I like saying like my experiences are as like egregious or, you know, whatever the case may be, but still, right. Like my family, I do have a lot of people that, you know, are what we consider like obese, you know, who are struggling with diabetes, et cetera. And so really, right, like this has been my life experience of experiencing that personally, but then also witnessing people in my life, particularly women caregivers, struggle with their weight. I mean, my mom tried every diet under the sun, right? And to this day, you know, her yearly goals always center around weight loss. And I, honestly, Amanda, like, I just appreciate being in this space now because I'm looking out and I'm like, we are all being lied to. We have all had our minds warped, but yeah, it started really young. And yeah, and sadly, that is the case for most people. And I think, you know, in the Black community, it's difficult, right? Because there's this, oh, you're thick.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I want to get into that.
All right. So I'll leave it there and let you, you know, jump in and react to that.
There's so much to unpack there. Like, it's just bringing me back to my own experiences growing up because I was, like overweight, I guess people would consider when I was, you know, 13, 14. And I've always made this like conscious effort because I have two daughters. I have a son as well, but I have my teenager. She's 15 going on 16. And I've always tried to make this conscious effort not to focus on my weight or how I present myself regarding my body. Yes, we all have our struggles and I want her to see the realness of that, but also not to feel shame, you know? I don't want her to feel shame for anything. And I guess when I had this conversation with my daughter, I kept really beating myself up like, oh my God, like what did I do? What did I do to make her feel like this, to make this an issue for her? You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it really necessarily isn't what I did. It's also society. It's also the images and social media and all these things that she sees. And I had to have this conversation with her about, you know, expectations of self, right? And not necessarily focusing on the physical aspect per se, but focus on how you feel internally. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with eating cleaner and we have to exercise. Like, we need to move our bodies. Like, that's a standard in our household. You know what I mean? But especially with COVID, like, no one's doing anything. Like, we got to move our bodies. But it really, you know, makes me think about that generational trauma that we experience when it comes around our physical health, just like what you're saying with the people in your family. I experienced the same thing, you know, but it's so profound. But, you know, the societal pressures, right? The societal pressures are there. And, you know, what for you may be in the Black community when it comes to, like you're about to say, the whole thick thing, right? Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah, because like, I know, and there's like, you know, and then there's like the other side of it. And, you know, people have this conversation about it's like skinny shaming and all this other stuff, but that's like not what we're here to discuss. But, you know,
there's a spectrum to all this, but this is what we're focused on today. Yeah.
Right. You know, I just think it is a difficult thing to navigate because on the one minute, you can be thicky thick and, got a big booty. That's all good. But there's still like sort of these limitations to that because there's still a lot of fat shaming. I mean, think about like the Nutty Professor and the whole culture around that. Right. So I feel like I've been in this really weird position because again, like I said, like people, would not necessarily consider me fat, but like I am queen of thunder thighs. Like I have like really big thighs and like my mom has big thighs. Like that's just what it is. And you know, I go to the doctor and then, you know, there are these like conversations that they try to have with me, but then, you know, I go outside in the world or I'm in the Black community and it's like, girl, what you talking about? Like, I wish my body looked like yours. And I'm just like, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it is very layered. And even now with like, you know, everybody, what is it? What did Paul Mooney say? Everybody wants to be Black, but nobody wants to be Black.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, people are, you know, paying for their bodies to look like what, you know, Black women historically, right? When we think about, like, Sarah Bartman and what some people know as Hottentot Venus, like, was literally paraded for her body, mm-hmm. right? And so now we're seeing that happening while we're still dealing with fat shaming and anti-fatness, because you could be thick, but it has to be in the right places.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a certain kind of thickness they're talking about. There's
right. Like... right. And so I think, like, for me, right, like, that's been my struggle, because I'm like, okay, I might, you know, I'm bigger on the bottom, but even up top, like, I have mm-hmm. a belly. You know, mm-hmm. like I have, mm-hmm. I don't have this like really cinched waist, you know, and all of that. And so it has just been a struggle. It has been a struggle. And I think in the Black community, for Black women, like how we navigate these conversations, from what I've seen, hasn't been as healthy, I think, as I'd like them to be, because again, they can be very extreme, right? They can just be very extreme. And you know, we both are part of the Peloton cult.
Yes.
And I'm in a Facebook group, you know, for Black women, and some of the stuff that I see, I'm like, okay, we're all here because we care about our health, but for many of us, health is equated to body weight on the scale.
It is. It really is. And I think that goes beyond, you know, Black women as well. I think overall, everything we're talking about can apply to everyone. But I think in particular in our community and what we experience, you know, it's this confusing message, right? We have this message of this whole thickness, or you're healthy or because you're thicker, right? But what does that really mean? And then as we're reclaiming ourselves, right? And I'm getting fit, I'm working out, I'm doing what I can for myself, that we start seeing these celebrities, you know, first we were, you know, being demeaned for having booties or breasts or body shape, right? Yep. Hips, all these things. But now you see these celebrities literally, you know, getting this stuff done to themselves, looking quite abnormal at times, mm-hmm. you know, right? Blackfishing, looking quite abnormal, but now this accepted. And then now I'm looking like, wait, but I thought it wasn't. I don't get it. So it's this confusing thing for us Black women that we experience, because there's this one side of the coin is you're too thick or you're too this or you're too that. Then other side is, but if it's on another kind of woman, it's okay.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's mind blowing. It's absolutely mind blowing. And it's just insane. But that's why we have to do, you know, really work on ourselves for ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, but.
Yeah.
And what other ways do you think social media and the celebrity cultures have impacted us?
Yeah, I mean, I just think because information is just so accessible in a way that it wasn't before, that we are constantly being bombarded with various images. I mean, let's be honest, even within the like sort of body acceptance, anti-diet space, it's still a particular type of people that rise to the top, you know?
Very true.
Nothing against those people, right? But like, mm-hmm. I have been, you know, as I'm building my platform, like I'm trying to seek out Black women who look like me, who are a little bit on the heavier side, you know, who mm-hmm. really, you know, bear the brunt of anti-fatness. Because it's one thing to be in a more like conventionally attractive and acceptable weight body and be doing this work, and then be in a body like mine, and you know, I'm still going to the doctor and they're still telling me these things because of the way that our medical system is designed. And so like it is a lot harder. And you know, like in these past few weeks, I've shared various posts about how like I've been struggling. Right. Like I've been feeling betrayed by my body. I'm like kind of, you know, flirting with the idea of revisiting like disordered eating, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
it is a journey. And so that's why like, I want to be transparent. You know, I think in being transparent, I hope for people to realize that like none of us have this figured out, and yes, it is a journey, not a destination. You know,
absolutely.
Like I post all the healthy stuff and, oh, I'm eating a good breakfast and this and that and the third, but I don't post when I'm stressed out and I'm going in the pantry and I'm eating, you know,
yes,
that I can, you know, like, yeah, so that is the struggle. But even in doing those things, Amanda, like I'm learning to have grace for myself.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. Because life is hard. We're in a pandemic, and I literally, Amanda, cannot afford to hate my body. It's the only one that I have, and it's gotten me this far. And I think when I break it down like that, it helps buffer like the BS that I see from social media, you know?
Yes.
It helps buffer those negative thoughts.
I love that. It's just such a relatable thing, I guess. I'm just sitting here just really relating so deeply in what you're talking about, you know, because it is a difficult time right now. The stress is extremely high. And even right now, I mean, I'm thinking about the ice cream my husband just bought me because I wanted it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to eat that. I'm going to enjoy it, you know, but like you said, like, you don't want to feel that shame. You want to accept your body for where it is right now. And it is an absolute journey. It's an absolute journey. And as I'm reflecting on being a teenager and doing my Taibo and eating like a freaking, you know, like you said, salad with no protein, like it was bad. Because all I thought about was losing weight and looking like the other girls in school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And thinking about where I am now in my 30s after having kids and how it's still a journey.
Uh-huh.
How it's still a journey. And I'm just like, when is this going to end? Like, I'm tired, right?
Yeah.
But it definitely takes getting to a point of, like you said, just being okay. And I'm so glad you said that, like just being okay with your body.
Yep.
Because it is okay. You are alive. Like, you are here. You are whatever your body is able to do. It is able to do.
It is. And I think, you know, unfortunately, there's just so much that's so deeply rooted. It's so psychological. It's so cultural. You know, I was a vegetarian. Then, you know, well, I was a pescatarian. Then I was a vegetarian. And then I was teetering on becoming a vegan. And then I went to the doctor and I had mad problems with my lab.
Mm, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Yeah.
But the way, unfortunately, you know, some of these diets, because I'm sorry, being a vegetarian or a vegan, that's a diet,
mm-hmm,
are sold as like it's healthier. But like what people aren't telling you is that you have to supplement properly.
Yes.
You have to diversify, you know, where you get this from, this nutrient from, and that nutrient from. And I wasn't doing any of that, right? I was doing it because, oh, well, this will help me lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's so funny because people, they still ask, like, they're like, oh, are you vegetarian or vegan? I'm like, far from it. Hell no.
Like, yes.
And not knocking any of that. But when people come to me, they're coming to me because they're like, I'm thinking of doing it so I can lose weight, and I have to stop them. I have to stop them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, please don't do that, because number one, instead of thinking about what you can't eat and what you need to cut out, just think about what you can incorporate more. And then please, like, go speak with a nutrition, right? Because like, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a dietitian. Like, please consult someone if that is what you're choosing to do, because I didn't consult anyone and I'm still recovering. Like, I've been anemic for like 7 years at this point. And the doctors are always asking me like these questions, and I'm like, I don't know what more you want me to do. Like, you know, and so like, I'm dealing with consequences of doing something in the pursuit of health. Right?
Yeah. You know what? And that brings to mind for me personally, like so before COVID and everything, actually probably about a year ago, I was a certain weight. I was small. I was, you know, and I did it through intermittent fasting, and I
here's
the thing, like, I prefer not to eat breakfast. I don't like eating first thing in the morning, so it really was a natural thing for me. So I'll eat my first meal at like 10. I just don't like eating in the morning very early. So it wasn't really a huge thing. I was exercising. You know, I thought I was healthy, but what I realized was I wasn't eating as much as I needed.
Wired. Yeah. Exactly.
And I didn't realize that, right? That Peloton be having you hungry after.
Right.
But like, we're not sponsored by Peloton, but it's
right.
Like,
no.
Just get it. But so many great people in here. I was having so many stomach issues. And I've dealt with stomach issues my whole life, but nothing like this. Like every single day, it was something. And it wasn't until, I don't know what clicked in my head, Amanda, eat more. So I started eating more. And guess what happened?
Stomach issues stopped hurting.
My stomach got better.
Yeah.
So, but what that did was I gained weight off of that, but it was healthy because I felt better. So even now, as I'm working out and eating clean, I'm trying to just, like you said, be okay and just work on my fitness and eat clean because it feels good. Exercise because it feels good. It's more about the internal health for me now at this point. But it really made me, when you're talking about that, made me reflect on what you sacrifice for that image. You know what I mean? What you sacrifice for that image. And it wasn't worth it.
I was, you know, I have like two really, really close friends. We all kind of have struggled with our weight. And like there was this period where we all were kind of going really, really hard. And they both lost like a substantial amount of weight because they went like really, really hard. Of course, life happens. And what the research shows is that like within like 1 to 5 years, people tend to rebound. Right. Like their weight rebounds and it happened. And I've just been like working with them. And like what people don't realize is that when you see people who look really snatched and have lost all this weight, it takes an insane amount of effort.
It does.
To maintain it.
Oh,
I mean, I even think about where I was and I look back. I was like, first of all, I was complaining back then. I'm like, but wait a minute, my arms, my shoulders were looking good. Like, what was I complaining about? But being obsessed with the scale, right?
Yes.
But anyway, like I was doing an insane amount of work. Like the month of July, Amanda, I did 81 workouts.
Oh my gosh.
Does that make any sense?
That doesn't make no sense. That's a lot.
What was I thinking?
I reflected on something some years ago. I used to work out at the gym for 2 hours. I would do two fitness classes back to back. And that was like in my 20s. And now I'm like in my 30s. I'm like, oh my God, like what? How? Why? You literally need like 30 minutes.
Right.
35, 40 and move on with your life. But yeah. Right. Oh yeah.
It is just really ridiculous. And so what has helped me now, you know, is just adopting like, rejecting like an all or nothing approach, understanding that some days I'm going to be able to like be on the, you know, cycle for 30 minutes and then do strength training for 20 minutes and then go for a walk. Like some days it's going to be like that. Other days it's a cute little 10 minute stretch.
Yes.
Maybe a walk around the block. And then that's it. You know,
Like you said, showing yourself some grace.
Exactly. And I think that's just so much more important than anything else. And don't get me wrong, right? Like sometimes I do still like feel that guilt and feel that shame, but I've learned to just sit with it and more importantly, move through it. And I also have like a partner who is super supportive. And I think that helps too, right? Yeah. Because it's like I have someone to like help remind me, hey, like you actually are doing great. You know, and in this hyper productivity, you know, centered world and like, you know, Black girl magic and Black excellence and this and that. Look, I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And we're not going to be doing all of this. And so, you know, I just hope to bring that to other Black women. You know, I'll be 30 in 2 months. And as I'm like approaching it, I'm like, It's only up from here. It's going to be a major level up because I can't do all of that mess that I was doing back then, hating my body, not wanting to be seen. I mean, I used to dream sometimes that I was of a certain religion so I could have a reason to hide my body. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, it can get that way. You know, and I just appreciate you sharing your story and your experiences. I think it's so relatable to so many people. It may not be the exact same story for you know, other people, of course, but there's still that same like common threads, right? There's still some commonalities that we share based on our experiences as women and as Black women. And the other question I did want to ask you, and I think you pretty much alluded to it, it really is, how do we practice then? How do you practice body acceptance? Like, how did that kind of, you know, come about? Like, what do you do now to help you be okay?
Yeah, I, number one, I don't obsess over the scale anymore. I'm just like, look, if you want to know, go ahead. But like, I used to pretty much weigh myself every day. So number one, I didn't get rid of the scale. I know some people do that. I just like don't touch it, right? I've just decided to not touch it. I also, you know, wear clothes that actually like fit me.
Yeah.
That's huge. I think that's a sort of underestimated tool, because oftentimes we're like still grieving our old bodies. And so we hold on to clothes and then we're like, oh my gosh, I can't fit this. But it's like, girl, you ain't gonna fit that. Get rid of it. That's fierce. You know, like change it up. So that's one thing.
I love that. Yep. So true.
And I think, you know, just reminding myself that like this is the body that I have, and I can either spend my life hating it, hating myself, hiding, shrinking, not living out loud, right? Like not living audaciously. Or I can, you know, recognize that like, hey, I would maybe like for my body to look differently, but it doesn't. But that doesn't mean I can't take care of my body right now.
Yes.
So it really has been a mindset thing. I've also cleaned up my social media, like no shade, but I can't follow all the hyper fitness pages and all of that. And it's not for me right now. I'm not there, you know? So those are a few things that I've done and I would offer to like your listeners and, you know, people who are interested in about what I'm doing, what I'm trying to build. Like, that's what I would offer.
I love that. Like the overall just acceptance of you in the moment of where you are right now at this stage in life. Because we, like you said, you are trying to fit into those old clothes that you've been couldn't fit into. So you're thinking in the past, right? And that's going to leave you depressed. Because if you look too far in the past, that you'll get moods of feelings of depression and sadness, right? If you look too far in the future, you get feelings of anxiety. So the most important thing is being here right now and trying your best to just be okay. Just be okay and stop putting so much pressure, I think, on the things that you're doing so you can be okay. And what I mean by that is, you know, when we are working out, you know, I got to work out. Go hard. No, just work out because you want to work out. I got to eat one salad a day. All right, just eat a salad because you like a salad. If you don't like a salad, find something else. You know, it's just it. And I think something happens when you are turning 30, and I'm 37. Something happens when you
Yes.
Something happens when you get to your 30s and you just start not giving a damn.
Yep.
You start like, and I was just you don't have time. Like I was having this conversation with my girl yesterday, and she's like in her early 30s. And we were just like, at this point, I don't have the time. I don't want to stress about these things anymore. It didn't matter when I was stressing about it, and it don't matter now. Like I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still doing what I do. So something happens like as you, I think, get to your 30s and you're just like, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Everything will be okay. And just take it easy. Stop being so hard on yourself. So that's some really awesome advice. But, and then like you said too, it does affect your ability to be audacious. It really does affect your ability to live in your power and your truth when you are so focused on this one aspect of your life that maybe isn't going the way you want it to. So that all overall, like holistic approach to your wellness and checking in when you're with yourself constantly, is so important to how you live your life in general and how you're able to stand in your truth, stand in your power and walk into a door and feel like I belong here. You know what I mean? And stop not thinking about your body or how you're looking, but it definitely is something that we have to keep in mind and be mindful of.
100%. And, you know, I'll just say, the piece where you were saying about, you know, being in the moment, I think that's super important because I look back at pictures from college now and I'm like, I thought I was fat then.
Mm-hmm. Relatable. Yeah.
The goalpost is always moving. It's always moving. We'll look always. Up 5 years from now and look back and then like, you know, we could mm-hmm. you know, gain or lose or get stronger, whatever the case may be. And we'll see like, I wasted all this time thinking about getting here. And now that I'm here, I wish I was back there. And so like, just move forward. And you know, this doesn't take away the fact that, you know, like, again, our society is still gonna say, you need to look a certain way. But what it just does do is like, gives you that inner toolkit that you need to honestly, like, be a Black woman. Be anybody, but be a Black woman in particular, because everybody has something to say about Black women, about, you know, how we look, how we wear our hair, like, you know, too fat, too thin, whatever. So like, just do you.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to like do. And I'm trying to build.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So I'm just excited to see your platform grow and everything that you do, because I think you're just so real and so authentic. And this whole conversation was just super beautiful. And I hope that our listeners, you know, took a lot from it and were able to relate. So where can people find you at? What are your handles?
Yeah, so I'm at The Holistic Agenda on Instagram. You know, I'm still building stuff out. So eventually people can find me elsewhere. I'm on Twitter, but it's mostly like work oriented and I don't really want y'all following me over there. It'll get boring. But mostly, you know, just Instagram at The Holistic Agenda.
Awesome. And I thank you so much. Like, this is just an amazing conversation and so relatable. Like I said, I think people relate to it. But thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for being an audacious Black girl yourself and pushing through despite, you know, the challenges that, you know, we naturally experience in life, and for sharing this beautiful conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. All right. Peace. I would love to know your thoughts on today's episode. You can reach me on Instagram at Audacious Black Girl. Shoot me a DM. You can also find me on my website at www.audaciousblackgirl.com. All this information will be in the show notes. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Please subscribe so you can get all the updates for the podcast. And join my Audacious Black Girl tribe for weekly self-care support and tips. Peace.